Lisa Mazord, the Chief Field Building Officer for Upstart, and you're listening to Collaboratory Conversations. This is a series of short dialogues building off of Upstart and ROI Communities Collaboratory. Collaboratory is the Jewish community's largest annual gathering of community visionaries, activists, and catalyzers of change in North America. Today, I'm talking with Elizabeth Mandel, the founder and executive director of J-Girls Magazine. J-Girls is part of Cohort 11 of Upstart's Venture Accelerator. And while at the Collaboratory, Elizabeth took a part in a panel called Power Dynamics and Gender Equity, a conversation among women leading change. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Eliza. Thank you so much for having me.
We know that gender equity is an incredibly important and timely issue right now, not just in the broader world, but in the Jewish community as well. And there's so much going on, Me Too, Time's Up. Can you talk about how and why you founded J-Girls Magazine?
Sure. So I have always been involved in gender issues, very deeply involved in my Jewish community, and I have a background in media, both as a documentary filmmaker and as a writer. And when I became a mother, I became a mother of three daughters, and they are assertive and strong, and they know their own minds, and they know exactly that what it is that they want. And I knew that as they stopped being young children and moved toward their tween and teen years, that it was likely to happen that they would absorb all of the messages that society was telling them to be smaller, to be quieter, to not be quite so loud, you know, that assertiveness was actually aggressiveness as it manifested in a girl, and that they would lose their sense of selves and their sense of voice. And I started to think about what I could give them, which later evolved into what I could give not only my daughters, but our daughters, more largely within the Jewish community, to help them maintain those voices, to hang on to those voices, and to maintain their sense of selves, and to really maintain their voice, to give them a place where their voices could be amplified and uplifted. And because of my background in media, this is what I came up with, you know, a space, a room of their own, as it were, a space dedicated to amplifying and elevating the voices of Jewish teenage girls. You brought up the Me Too movement and Time's Up, and, you know, it's as these movements have gained traction, pretty much, you know, simultaneous with the implementation of this idea and the growth of J-Girls, I've also really appreciated how the community of girls and young women, Jewish girls and young women that we're building, is a community of girls that not only believes in one another, but also that believes in each other. And we're really seeing that one of the ways that the Me Too movement has been so important is it's given women the knowledge that they have the support behind them of people who are going to believe them when they step forward and claim their truth and speak their truth. And J-Girls likewise gives girls a space where they can speak their truth and they're going to be believed and supported and rallied around by the other girls within that community.
Fantastic. Can you say a little bit more about your own journey as a storyteller and a writer, both through your documentary film and in other ways that you tell stories? What has your storytelling journey been like, and how has it been meaningful to you?
So, you know, I've always been interested in stories and in storytelling. I've always loved to write. I actually became a documentary filmmaker. It was a career change for me. My master's degree is in international affairs with a focus on gender and development. And I was working in the field of gender and development, particularly on gender-based violence in Southeast Asia. And I saw there that women were being incredibly creative in using media to bring stories and topics into the public conversation that were otherwise not part of the public conversation. So, for example, there was a project in Cambodia, there were two projects in Cambodia to raise awareness around domestic violence, which used media and performance very effectively. One was a theater troupe that went from village to village performing plays that raised issues of domestic violence. And people came to see the show who might not otherwise ever have talked about, heard about, or thought about domestic violence because it was a form of entertainment. And there was also an organization that was running a radio program that dealt with issues of domestic violence. And again, because it was entertainment, people would turn on the radio and they would become engaged and involved in talking and thinking about something and hopefully taking action on something that otherwise never would have, might never have been on their radar. And I started to think about, you know, how I could use entertainment and media to invoke discussions around topics that people were not necessarily otherwise talking about. And through, you know, this led me on a journey that ended with me entering the world of documentary filmmaking, where there's so much opportunity to use entertainment to raise issues and to have important discussions around a range of social justice, around a range of social justice issues. And I worked in that field for a long time. It was an incredible experience where I really learned so much about how to take media and use it to engage audiences in discussion. And then, you know, as I referenced earlier, as I became a mother and started to think about what the world was that I wanted my daughters to live in, I took the elements of both storytelling and using storytelling as a way to, one, give a platform to voices that were otherwise being marginalized, and then to engage the audiences who were consuming that media to elevate those marginalized voices and also to talk about how they could become part of a solution to the problems that those voices were raising.
Can you share a little bit more about some of the topics that came up on the gender equity panel at the Collaboratory? And what topics and stories resonated very strongly with you personally?
Sure. So, you know, I'd love to talk a little bit about what I spoke and my background, my personal story, and then also some of the other things that came up on the panel. So I grew up in a modern Orthodox home. I went to a modern Orthodox day school. I loved the way that I grew up. I loved the sense of community, of belonging to something bigger than myself, the emphasis on learning. It was a really, for me, it was a very beautiful way to grow up. And the school that I went to and the community that I grew up in really was very, very inclusive of girls in all forms of learning. I was told in my school and in my home that girls could do anything, girls could be anything. We learned together with the boys. And then when I turned, it must have been when I was about 11 years old, someone from the school came and said, okay, starting from today, the boys are going to learn to read Torah and the girls are going to home ec. And wow. This was my, you know, I call it my Jewish feminist awakening moment, where I realized that for all of the messages of equity and equality, that there was a part of me that was never going to be fully accepted as whole or as good as or as much as the boys in a very, very specific Jewish way. And, you know, and this was, again, this was at this age of 11. I mean, we know that girls' self-confidence plummets when they reach their teen and tween years. And certainly messages like this, which are global. I mean, this is one very specific Jewish example, but these are really global messages that girls receive, that they are not as much as or as good as or enough. And this really started me on a journey of figuring out how I could be both my fullest self as a girl, as a woman, and as a Jewish girl and as a Jewish woman. And, you know, really, I I'm still surprised at how surprised I was by that moment because I had to know that it was coming, but it still really felt like a gut punch to me. And I think that in many ways, I've spent so much of both my personal and professional life figuring out how for I personally, and then I as a mother, and then I as a Jewish community activist, could help girls move past that moment. And that moment really just being a symbol of, you know, of a much large of much larger issues in secular society, in other cultures of messages that that girls are receiving. And you know, one of the things that's been really interesting for me in founding J-Girls, I mean, J-Girls is devoted to giving girls voice and helping girls maintain their voice. And what I realized in the process of, you know, you have to have a pretty strong voice and a pretty loud voice to be to start your own organization, to be a social entrepreneur or an entrepreneur of any kind. And while I've been creating this space for girls' voices, it's also been a real journey for me to reclaim my own voice, which, you know, from that moment and through my tween years and through my teen years and into young adulthood, you know, where I went from being the girl who always had her hand in the air, who always had an opinion, who always had something to say, to really being someone who, like so many other girls, began to check herself. Is what I'm going to say stupid? Have I raised my hand too many times? What are people going to think of me? And you have to quell that voice in order to be a successful entrepreneur and find the voice that says, I believe in myself. And if I make a mistake, that's going to be okay. Because without allowing myself to make mistakes and without allowing myself to be heard, I can't create this space for other people. And, you know, one of the things that I talked about on the panel was there's this Jewish concept of wrestling with an angel. You know, Jacob wrestles with the angel, and in doing so, he finds his true self. He finds his own true name. And in many senses, you know, this has been, for me, wrestling with my own demons of that voice that inside my head that's telling me to be quiet, but also wrestling with my own angel in figuring out, in reclaiming the girl who I was when I was also a loud and assertive girl, just like my daughters are, and trying to find that voice and become that loud, assertive, self-confident person again as an adult. And, you know, this was really a theme that we heard repeated on the panel of women talking about how they're affected by society in their work and also personally in the way that people interact with them, in the expectations that are put on them, in how people try to define them rather than allowing them to define themselves. And this really, really deeply resonated with me, the many and complex ways in which girls and women absorb the idea of who it is that they're supposed to be rather than who it is that they know that they can become, and how they reflect that back out into the world in the way that they go through the world.
Fascinating. You know, we said at the beginning that gender is having a moment. It's having a moment outside the Jewish community. It's having a moment inside the Jewish community.
Yeah.
And I know you were a part of the work that was done at the Davidson School at JTS around gender equity and those communal conversations. There's also a strong SRE coalition working on safety, respect, and equity in Jewish workplaces. There's another task force working on equity and hiring. There's a lot of good momentum going. Broadly, where do you think these efforts are leading us? And also, what do you think might be missing or overlooked in these conversations?
Sure. So first of all, I think it is absolutely fabulous that these organizations have been founded and are gaining so much traction and attention and funding in our community, and I'm proud to be part of some of this work. And I think that really what these organizations are doing is adding to and building up an ecosystem of working toward gender equity. And, you know, I'm very proud for J-Girls to be a part of it. Our role in the ecosystem is working with teens, is working, you know, very, very in this very specific way of working with teens to cultivate their voices through creative language and you know, the visual and audio arts. I think that this is all, you know, part of a trajectory that I think really needs to start at the youngest of ages. I think that we need to see nursery schools and elementary schools talking about gender and talking about gender equity, I think that if we want to see our children grow into a world that treats women and girls as equals, where they do have safety, equity, and respect, that we need to start at a very young age, that we need to teach both boys and girls from the youngest of ages. And I want to emphasize how important it is that boys and men be part of all of these conversations. Mm-hmm. There's no equity if the women and girls are doing all of the work and doing all of the talking. And to teach from the youngest of ages about bodily autonomy, about intellectual autonomy, about the way that we speak about girls and boys, also the stereotyping, the putting into boxes. You know, I think that there needs to be conversations about in nursery schools about what kind of costumes are available in the play corner, about what it means to, you know, little kids like to hug and kiss each other. That's great. But what does it mean when one child says no to a hug? What does it mean when a child doesn't want to hug a relative, doesn't want to kiss a relative? What does it mean when we buy different gifts that fall along gender lines for our children for their birthdays and for Hanukkah? How can we equip girls to say no? How can we equip girls to stand up for themselves? How can we let girls know that they're going to be believed when they talk about something that happened to them? And it doesn't have to be something that you know, falls into the realm of harassment or assault. But just how do we send girls the message that they're going to be believed? And likewise, how do we give boys the tools to understand that, one, that girls are their equals, and two, that the characteristics that we ascribe to girls also belong to them. You know, sensitivity, nurturing. You know, how do we talk to boys who cry? How do we talk to girls who climb trees? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if we lay the foundation and we lay the groundwork as children are learning who they are and what their role is in the world, then all of the stuff will follow on that solid foundation. And J Girls, again, is a piece that deals with the teen and tween community. And then these other wonderful organizations deal with the workplace. But I believe that it all has to start very, very early on.
I'm going to take this in a different direction. Have mm-hmm. you faced any challenges or unique challenges as an entrepreneur because of gender?
So this is a really interesting question. I believe my kids make fun of me. You know, we'll be watching an animated family movie, and I'll say something like, "Did you see the way that male dog talked to that female cat?" You know, and they'll say to me, "Mom, stop! Can't we just watch the movie? Does it really always have to be about gender?" And my response is yes, because I fully believe that everything is about gender. I believe that the way that men and women interact, the way that women regard themselves and men regard themselves, I believe that this plays into every aspect of our lives. It permeates the media, it permeates politics, it permeates the workplace, it permeates all human dynamics. And so therefore the answer, you know, does gender dynamics come into play when I'm starting my own Jewish venture, is yes, because it comes into play in everything. I mean, the you know, when I talk about this ecosystem, well, the ecosystem exists because gender is institutionalized. It's institutionalized in the way that we think about everything. One thing that I would say specifically about J Girls and about the world of organizations that are working on lifting up girls and women's voices is that it's really important to understand that gender does not equal women. And that when we talk about gender mm-hmm. issues and gender dynamics, we're not talking about women. And when we talk about elevating girls and women's voices, these are not women's issues. These are Jewish communal issues. And I think that that's something that has come up for J Girls, is that this is seen, because this is a project for girls, it's seen as a girls' project. When in fact, it's about enhancing and lifting up and making the Jewish community as a whole stronger and better. If we're not giving all of the tools and all of the opportunities to the full complement of the Jewish community, we're missing out, you know, by half on being the best community that we can be.
Interesting. Can you say a little bit more about your journey as an entrepreneur and the ways that you've been supported in that journey, kind of in a more general sense, maybe not only related to gender?
Sure. So this started out really as an idea. And I wasn't sure if it was going to have any traction. You know, part of J-Girl's mission is that decision-making is girl-driven and ideas are girl-driven. The girls I work with are instrumental in what the website's going to look like, the direction it's going to take, the tone of it, the aesthetic of it. And so when I had the idea, and a piece of this idea was that it was going to be girl-driven, of course, I had to make sure that the idea that I, you know, a mom of three kids had was really going to resonate with teens and with people who worked with teens. And so very early on in this journey, I spent a lot of time talking to other teen professionals at organizations that are doing fabulous work with teenagers, some of them with girls specifically, and to see, you know, is this an idea that has traction and that has resonance? And I received so much support so early on from other organizations who are working in the same space saying, you know, this, we need this, this is important. And likewise from the funding community, I have, you know, wonderful funders who have been excited about this project, who have supported this project. I would not have been able to do this work without that support. And, you know, I particularly appreciate that foundations and donors were willing to come on when this was just an idea to be able to give me the support that I needed in order to take this from an idea to an actual organization. You know, I am part of the Upstart Accelerator this year. It's an incredible opportunity, both for the financial support and also for the support for me as an entrepreneur, to help me grow my skills, to connect me to a community of others who are wrestling with and learning about the same issues, to give me a fabulous coach, Aliza Mazur, and to really be able to unpack and talk through the challenges. I mean, when you start an organization, you have to think about everything from the smallest minutiae. Do I need a color printer or do I need a black and white printer? To, you know, long-term strategic planning. Where do I want to be in 5 years, in 10 years? And how am I going to make all of this happen? What are the resources I need? The financial resources, the human resources, the time. And to be able to be part of a community that is helping me figure that out in such a supported way is instrumental to the growth that we are experiencing now and that we are looking forward to in the future.
Wow. You've referenced several times in this conversation that you are the mother of three girls. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a big source of inspiration and motivation. Yes. And maybe some of the urgency that's related to your work.
Yes.
What is the Jewish world that you want your daughters to have? And how is that world different from the world we live in now?
I want my daughters to grow up in a world where not only do they know that they're equal inside their hearts and souls and minds, which I'm cultivating in them at home, but where they go through the world being treated equally, being treated with respect, knowing that they're safe in all of the spaces in which they navigate, knowing that they are appreciated and valued for their minds, for their skills, for all of their whole selves that they bring to any conversation. I would love to see a world in which, well, you know, my background is in international development. I mean, this is a much bigger question within the Jewish community, but also outside the Jewish community, of, you know, how we as a world are treating girls and women. And I think that this also raises questions of intersectionality. How are we treating all of the humans in the world who belong to marginalized communities, who are navigating their lives being told that they're less than? And I would love to see a world in which that was being addressed, and eventually a world in which equity was equity and everybody had what they needed and everybody was able to go through their lives as their full selves, proud of who they are, not scared of who they are, and becoming the most that they can be in the most authentic way.
Elizabeth, it's been so fascinating hearing about your work and the impetus for your work and your big vision, which I find so so important and captivating. What you're doing is incredibly hard, to build something from scratch, from the ground up, to convince people to give you their time and their wisdom and their money, to keep the momentum growing and grow the project over time. What fuels your work and keeps you going?
I would say two things. One is, you know, I've been thinking about issues at the intersection of gender and Judaism since I was 11 years old. And I feel so grateful and so privileged, thanks to all of the support that I've received. And I should mention that support looks many, many different ways, to be able to do this work, to be able to address and make a difference to Jewish girls and the women that they're going to grow up to be. And then there are the girls themselves. I work with the most incredible girls and young women. At J Girls, all of the work is created by Jewish teenage girls, and that's written work as well as visual work and music, video. In addition, our editors are all Jewish teenage girls, and they make the decisions around what content we publish. And they are the most inspiring, most wonderful, most, they are risk takers, they are creative, they are intellectual, they are loving, they are community builders. And I have the privilege to work with these fabulous girls and young women, both the current editors and also the alumni. And as you said, it's really hard work. And as you know well, Aliza, there are days where I just think, how am I going to do this? And I return again and again to those girls for inspiration, to the fact that they have shared with me what a difference J Girls is making in their lives, in their sense of voice, their sense of confidence, their sense of belonging to a Jewish community, inspiring them to go into Jewish communal work, inspiring them to talk to their campers about their young girl campers, about using their voices, about being their full authentic selves. And my daughters, I keep coming back to these things, the amazing girls in my life, and how privileged and fortunate I am to really be able to take, a lifetime of thinking and caring about something and turning it into a space for girls to have their voices raised up and amplified.
What might you say to young women and girls who are searching for more opportunities to share their voices?
So, number one, of course, I would say submit your work to J Girls. We accept formats including fiction, nonfiction, poetry, visual arts, music, video, and it's a great opportunity for girls to be heard. And I would also say this is a really, really unprecedented time of opportunity for girls and young women to be heard. The New York Times has recently stated their commitment to publish more marginalized voices. We see young activists, the anti-gun violence activists from Parkland, Greta Thunberg, the young Swedish climate change activists. There are so many models right now of young people who are really raising up their voices and making a difference. And I think it's very, very important for girls to remember to not hold back, not be afraid, know that their voices matter, that their voices count, and to not be afraid of rejection, to not be afraid of what people are going to think. This is such a time of achievement culture where girls are being told that they have to do more, they have to do better, and it has to be perfect. It doesn't. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect most of the time, many of the times, and to try and try and try again and to put yourself out there over and over again, even if it means getting rejected, even if it means overcoming your fear. There's so many opportunities out there, and I really encourage girls to take advantage of all of them and to not hold back and to share your voices. We really want to hear them.
So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing with us your work and for all that you do to advance gender equity and bring forward the voices of girls. If you want to learn more about J-Girls, you can visit jgirlsmagazine.org, all lowercase. And to find out more about Upstart and how we help expand the picture of how Jews find meaning and how we come together, go to upstartlab.org, again, all lowercase, and sign up to be on our email list. Thank you so much.
Thank you.